entrepreneurs wanting to start a business is the mindset is to really understand that what happened back then is definitely influencing and recognizing that this is something happening to you now and that it's going to continue to show up until you have the courage to take a deep dive and look at it.
Ladies, welcome to the Women Who Lead Summit. Now, building a business is super exciting, isn't it? But let's be real. It can also be financially overwhelming. From all of the startup costs to scaling, all of the strategies that you need, too many entrepreneurs struggle with financial anxiety, poor money habits, and even financial abuse without realizing it. But today, we're going to change that. Our next speaker is a powerhouse in both wealth and wellness coaching, helping individuals transform their money mindset, their financial habits, and their long-term wealth strategies. I want you to meet Leah Davis. She is a distinguished wealth and wellness coach. She has an extensive experience in the financial industry, and with her background as a licensed financial advisor, she not only helps individuals build wealth, but she also empowers families through financial education and economic resilience. And we love that around here, right? Because she is a specialist in tackling the tough but necessary conversations around financial anxiety, financial abuse, and money trauma. And I have all of those, Leah, all of those. So helping her clients regain control, confidence, and financial independence, she has been a senior financial coach at the nonprofit Oakland Promise, and she played a pivotal role in helping families open college savings accounts and achieve their aspirations. Now, she's here bringing her expertise to you, teaching entrepreneurs how to build a thriving business without breaking the bank. Now, if you're ready to learn, get your pen, get your pad, okay? Because we are here to have really smart and sustainable strategies on how to fund and grow our business while really staying financially empowered, right? Because that's what this is about. You don't need to get into this entrepreneurship and coaching business and all of that to be drained and burnt out and disempowered. That is not what we're about around here, okay? So if you are ready, you are in the right place. Let's dive in and welcome Miss Leah Davis. Welcome. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you for having me today.
Yeah, I'm really glad you're here. These women are so amazing. And they've been like giving me a bunch of feedback on how this is going for them and all the like stuff that they're getting out of it. So I'm so stoked you're here because, you know, having this financial education, I'm Latina, right? I'm Latina. We grew up poor. My mother was on welfare, like all that kind of stuff. So there was a lot of like mindset stuff that I had to overcome and financial traumas and stuff. And still that pops up still. I'm 52 and they still pop up, right? And so when we're starting businesses like a lot of these women are doing or they're scaling, this is a big topic. And sometimes people are afraid to even talk about this, Leah. Like they're even afraid to touch it, right? You're going to judge them. What are you going to think about them? It's all this money mindset stuff that every entrepreneur has to start shifting, right? And so I wanted to start there. So many of these entrepreneurs that are really struggling with this financial anxiety, these money blocks, you know, I'm starting a business. What do I do? That kind of stuff. So what are the biggest mindset shifts they need to adopt ahora, right now, right? To adopt, to have this financial success that they're really seeking. I want to start there.
I love this question. I could talk about this all day, but I won't do that. The biggest mindset shift actually starts from within, and then it goes into the mind. And what I want to talk about is for those of us who have experienced financial trauma, like you just shared. Same thing here. I'm Black. I'm Mexican. Grew up in a low-income household. We were on food stamps. We had people from church giving us food at times. So there was, for me and for many other women that I have coached over the years that have experienced similar things growing up or any other type of traumatic experience, it'd be a loss of income or loss of a home at some point within their family or businesses failing if their families are we're starting out here in the country as immigrants and trying to get their business going, but we're not successful. Okay, so what happens is with this financial anxiety and traumas that happen when we're younger and then shows up into our lives as we're entrepreneurs wanting to start a business is the mindset is to really understand that what happened back then is definitely influencing and recognizing that this is something happening to you now and that it's going to continue to show up until you have the courage to take a deep dive and look at it. And you're absolutely right. So many women, so many people, men as well, avoid talking about this or even approaching it because most of us, let's face it, how many of us were taught how to cope with our emotions growing up? I don't know about you, but I grew up in the era of children are seen and not heard. I grew up in the era of when I was spanked and by my father, and you know, overly spanked. I was abused, actually. That's part of my story, that I was not allowed to show emotion. I had to suck up the tears. Stop crying or I'll give you something to cry about. Right? So I did not learn, and so many of us have not learned how to cope with our emotions. So first and foremost, having the mindset of knowing like, okay, that is going to show up in my entrepreneurship. That is going to show up with me managing money for my business on and on the personal side as well. And so being able to have the courage to start looking at it and be aware and having the mindset of I'm going to overcome this. Also having the mindset, this is something that's so important, not having a victim mindset. So if you're not having a victim mindset, that means you're having the mindset of someone who's conquered. Maybe you're not there right now. Maybe you still are experiencing some very traumatic experiences as a result of some financial situations that happened personally through your business, and it is completely activating you. And I say activating, you may feel it in your chest. You may feel it in your throat. You may feel it in your stomach. Some of my clients feel it in their shoulders or they're in their skin. Either way, our bodies are giving us these signals. And so when we can have the ability to recognize like, oh my gosh, this is happening right now versus succumbing to the, I shouldn't be feeling this way or, you know, this is happening because X, Y, and Z, someone did this to me and being frantic about it. That's a very victim mindset and way of being. But moving towards the someone who's conquered it, right? So there's like a, I like to call it like a phase, right? So I'll give an example. I was a woman who was a victim of domestic violence as a child and also in adult life, intimate partner violence. I was a victim. Then I became someone who was surviving. I was a survivor of domestic violence. And now I don't identify that with that. I'm a woman who has experienced domestic violence in my life because it's not a part of my life anymore. I'm no longer in the victim mindset. I'm in the mindset of that is something that's a part of my story. And yes, it does show up at times, but it does not take me down. It does not debilitate me. So the mindset that I'm offering for you to consider is one of being open and being willing to explore and being able to take that first step and know that this is a process. Just know that this is a process. It's a lifelong journey. And where you are today, as long as you're being willing and open and having the mindset of that and showing that for yourself and doing the work on yourself, your business will flourish. Because once we're able to do these things, we're able to learn to trust our decisions. And as individuals and women that have experienced people causing us harm, whether it's in the home or outside of the home, especially as children, we learn to not trust those who are supposed to take care of us. And if we can't trust them, then we don't trust ourselves. So if we don't do the work to learn how to trust ourselves and the decisions we make, that is a mindset shift, right? Then we're not going to be able to trust the decisions that we're making for our business. And that can continue to happen. Situations will keep happening in our life, whether personally or running through the business over and over again until we learn the lesson. So the mindset is, you know, be open and willing to learn the lesson.
Man, oh man, that was so good. Holy crap. I already started with all my notes, Leah, all my notes. Because I really love that you said the biggest mindset shift is within and then it's in the mind, right? It's like that amazing book, The Body Keeps the Score, right?
Yeah.
I love that book. Yeah, it's so good and it's so true. As you were talking, I'm like, wow, that's really true. Like when I was going through like the financial issues, I would feel it like in my throat area and stuff. And it's because I had no voice. I was like you. I was very abused as a child. And then I got into domestic violence partnership as well. That almost ended in my murder. And then I became the conqueror. So all of that was making so much. It was just resonating with me so deeply. And I bet you, so maybe about 80% of the women who are here too, right? Because a lot of us have gone through that. And especially if we're a bit older, that was the generation. That's what they did. Yeah. And especially when you talked about, suck up the tears or I'll give you something to cry about. That was my story. I couldn't cry about anything. Yeah. And I find myself still, like when I want to cry about something, pulling it together. Like, nope. We're not doing that, you know? Instead of just crying it out, I just won't cry it out. I'm like, no, we're not doing that. So
body keeps the score.
Yes, girl. You gave us so much to think about. And from victim to survivor, from survivor to conqueror, to being open and willing to explore, to then take the step, right? Yeah. You're actually giving us a strategy, a way to do this. And not to become a victim or have that victim mindset and to catch it, if we do, because we may, right? Is to sit there and actually catch it and not be a part of that. And that can be really hard to do because a lot of us have a lot of, financial abuse and toxic money patterns and traumas and stuff like that we go through. And some of it is because we don't trust ourselves. So maybe we made a bad decision hiring a different partner or, a business challenge that we decided was a good one. We put all our money in, it didn't work out. And that's happened to me.
Same.
And then I went into a lot of the woe is me things for that, so since you're specialized in this, you specialize a lot in financial abuse and financial trauma, right? And what I want to talk about is how do these experiences show up in our entrepreneurship, right? As we're actually going through this journey, because I want these women to break free from that toxic money patterns that they might be creating that they don't even see showing up in their journey. Does that make sense?
Yes. That is a great question. So in my experience in working with a lot of women who have experienced financial abuse and these financial traumas, it shows up in different ways depending on the person. So one of the things that we have talked about already is learning to trust the decisions that we make, right? And so the financial abuse side of things can come in, let's say, for example, when it comes to making a decision to put some money into your business for whatever reason, maybe it's to investing in yourself in a program, or it could be hiring somebody and it's a large amount of money, maybe more than you've ever, put towards something before. And as you're having these conversations, maybe you decide to do it or you don't. And you don't do it because you just don't feel like you can, you're just worried about the, what if I'm making the wrong decision? Or I don't know if this is going to work out, so I'm not going to do it. And there's that fear there. Even though we know that investing in ourselves and investing in our business is the way to move forward, but the abuse can show up, the financial abuse can show up because there could be that lack of trust in the decisions you're making and the lack of trust in somebody else. And the financial trauma side of things can show up when it comes to these kind of decisions to be made, where somebody may have, the paralysis or the procrastination or the just feeling completely overwhelmed and then just not even moving forward at all. So that shows up in different ways. And so one of the things I invite you to consider is to ask yourself, if you are somebody that has experienced financial abuse, and I want to be clear what financial abuse is too, for those of you who may not be clear about what that is. So financial abuse can show up if you've been in a relationship with somebody. It could be a parent, it could be a spouse, it could be a sibling, it could be a best friend, a close person, a relationship. Okay. And this person has done something to ruin you financially that has harmed you, and they've continued to do it Or they've, you know, like, for example, could be a partner, somebody who may not allow you to work. That was my mom for years. My father would not allow her to work because he didn't want her to have her independence. That's first and foremost. Or maybe somebody that you were with got access to your credit and they racked up your credit card debt. And then now you're having to deal with this, or maybe, you know, you're both co-signers on something and now you're separated and they've ruined your credit, but now you're responsible for it. Or I've even had clients where their parents use their social security number to go ahead and get some things, get some credit cards. And I've had clients whose credit was ruined because of the identity theft from their own parents. Okay. So if you think about those kinds of situations, that type of financial abuse that happens, how would a woman be able to trust somebody in the money that they're going to give them when they're trying to invest in their business, right? So that's how that shows up. So, but also paying attention, again, we've said it, there's a book, The Body Keeps the Score. Google it, get that book. I invite everyone to read that if you've experienced any sort of trauma in your life, because it gives you the ability to recognize and learn, and this is the type of work that I do with my clients as well, when this financial trauma is showing up as you're working on your financial goals, because it will show up. If we've experienced any sort of financial abuse, any other sort of abuse or trauma, it will show up as we're trying to make decisions for our business. And then there could be the other side of it. What if something doesn't work out, like Nina mentioned? I've done that. I have put money into programs. And early on in my entrepreneurship, I put money into programs blindly because I just was like, I'm just going to do it. And that actually harmed me because I didn't want to deal with, let me really look into this because maybe it won't work out. I was just like, I'm just going to do it anyway. I mean, part of that was a really good thing, but then the other part of it is, well, it didn't work out because I just wasn't aligned with it and I didn't do enough research. And so I put myself in harm's way. So that's something else that where it can show up, because I've been in relationships, with men and I just blindly went forward into it and just believed everything that they said. And then later on down the road, what they were saying is not how I was being treated. So the same thing can show up when you're going to be making decisions early on in your business or even later on, to work with particular professionals or invest in a program. So it just shows up in different ways. So again, just pay attention to your body, the signals it's giving you. Just, and even if you're thinking right now, like, well, I don't have anything and I've experienced some sort of financial abuse or I've experienced trauma, but I don't know what she's talking about. Trust me, if you have, the next time you're working on your finances, whether it's the business or personal, and you're starting to do that work, or you're avoiding it, just pause if you can remember and try to notice where you're feeling it in your body, because your body is going to be talking to you, and that's your biggest clue.
Yeah, and our bodies, because they do keep the score, and our subconscious keeps the score of the things that have protected us or have hurt us, you know, we don't, you know, consciously we forget things. Like, let's be real. Our conscious mind is great because it helps you go to the next thing. But our subconscious mind is what's driving the car. I mean, it just is. 85%, 95%, whatever the percentage is driving the car. You're absolutely right. I, as you're talking, I'm like, wow, you're right. As soon as you started talking, like, I felt it in my chest, because I remember my ex-husband did that. He wiped our whole bank accounts and left me and my boys with nothing, right? Mm-hmm. So it's like that kind of stuff. And so you're right. And that's always made me hesitate. And I did the same thing you did, Leah. In the beginning, I was like, yeah, you get my money. You take my money. You take my money. I think you have a great program. And then something tells you not to, but you do it anyway. So you don't even want to, you're like ignoring it. Like, nope. You know, it's so funny. I remember years ago, me and my friend were taking Dave Ramsey's course, right, on how to like snowball our money, whatever. And she went out the week before, and sorry about that. And she went out the week before and bought a brand new Lexus, right? So I said, why did you do that? Your car was fine. Why did you go do that? She goes, because I know that when I do this course, it's going to tell me that I can't do that. So I'm doing it now before it happens.
That's funny.
It was funny, but also like she put herself in debt just so that nobody can tell her what to do, right? Because of the trauma of too many people telling her what to do when she was younger, not giving her enough. So it's just funny that you, when you said that, it just went right back to that memory. It's so funny. I want to get into some practical steps for these women, right? Because they're all here building a business and they're like, how the hell do I do this without going freaking broke, right? Yeah. Because many entrepreneurs, they really think they need like this ginormous investment to start. And so a lot of people do that. And I have my own ideas on this, but I would love to hear what are some smart and practical ways to build and grow your business without drowning in all of the debt. And I say drowning because when I'm in debt, I feel like I'm drowning.
Yeah.
You know? So what do you think about that?
I think one of the biggest practical ways is to, one of the biggest things is to just really come into an understanding that you don't have to put all of your own money into a business and starting a business. I have seen this so many times when I've coached women in other programs. I've been a coach for some nonprofit organizations, and they are helping women start their businesses. And I would say the majority of them are socking away their own money, and they're beating themselves up for not having a huge stash of money to start a business, because they also need to have their own savings set aside. It is hard for us as women of color to start businesses, especially if you're a single mom, especially if you're working full time. There's the added bonus if you're working somewhere that, you know, you have a consistent income and you can build out your business, right, slowly as you're doing that. But it's still very hard, right? So I think the biggest thing is to just I really want to invite you to consider that you don't have to put all of your own money in there, because there's so many organizations out there that want to give money. And there's so much support out there that we don't have to pay for. And that is something that I really learned, especially when I got into working into the nonprofit field. And I started learning about more resources. And so what I do now, what I invite you to do, is anytime you're going to be making a decision on expanding your business or starting something, or it's going to take money, ask yourself a question. Is there a resource out there that can help me with this? Is there an organization locally that can help you? Google it, type it up, ask, because I guarantee you there's going to be something out there, some way, somehow, that will be there to help you so that you're not doing this alone. The other thing I would say also is to consider doing some trade. I did that early on. You know, I'm a coach, and so I began meeting other coaches. And then I started getting, I was like, hey, do you want to do some trade? And so we would set up a timeline and we would just, you know, do some work for trade for each other, because I'm helping them and they're helping me. So we're getting the best of both worlds there. So be open to that, as a possibility. And then also just having the, when you're looking into just starting or expanding your business, I think it's really important to also have a network of people and services that you can tap into that's free. There are so many individuals that are experts in their line of work, and they have so much free content, either on their website, get on their newsletter. If there's something that you're aligned with, just be a part of their sphere, follow them. And here's something I also learned too. A lot of experts, I do this with my email newsletter I send out. I'll send out different tips or different things that my audience can do when it comes to increasing their financial foundation or changing their money mindset and their habits and behaviors. When you are aligned with somebody and you're receiving information and it's free, and they send you a newsletter on a how-to, or they're saying, do X, Y, and Z, do it. They're not just sending it just because they're sending it. Like, for example, I'm following this program called Launchware right now, and I'm loving it. I'm going to be investing in it, and I'm so excited. And I just got an email this week from the individual founders of the company, and it gave a great tip on something that I'm going to do. I can't remember off the top of my head, but either way, point is, I read the whole newsletter and I made a note that this week I'm going to do exactly everything that they're saying in there, because they know what they're talking about. And so why spin our wheels, right? And why try have this belief that we have to have so much money to get things done when there's so much available to us now? Maybe you don't have the money in the bank account. You don't see the numbers. But by doing these kinds of things, by aligning yourself and with other programs or people that are aligned with your values and what you believe and how they're showing up in the world, and you want to be like them, and they're doing something that is completely like, wow, I want to be there someday. Just get as much free stuff as you can. Remember, you don't have to have all of your own money to start a business. There's resources available for that. And there's always going to be an opportunity for you to be able to learn and invest on a way that is meant for you at that time. And I just think that's just some of the greatest tips that I've learned over time. No one told me this, but I've learned. And I hope that that helps you out.
Yeah, I mean, I did the same. I think, you know, networking and collaborating with others is super powerful. And when I like someone, like I'm following them or whatever, and I get their newsletter, I read it too, because they'll say something. I'm like, oh, I didn't think about that. You know, like I could just add that to my CRM. Why didn't I think about that? Or I could just, you know, put that tweak on my hook. Duh, you know, like that kind of thing. So I really like that advice. That's really great advice. And I think that we tend to think that we have to reinvent the wheel. This is the problem, right? We come to this and we think we have to reinvent it because we are so unique and so amazing and so multifaceted, and we're, you know, but we also can take that genius from other people and create it in ourselves. So I agree with that 100,000%. Like, that is what we have to do. And you mentioned it a little bit, and I wanted to ask you that actually about funding and investing and, you know, managing and all of that kind of stuff, because I wanted you to give us maybe some creative yet responsible funding ways or funding options, right? Because this is your thing for these entrepreneurs who want to grow. But maybe they're hesitant because they don't want to take any risk, right? They don't want to get into any debt. So I'm wondering if you have some of those cool tips or strategies for us.
Yes. There's two. The first I want to talk about, which is a lending circle. So I don't know if you're familiar with what a lending circle is. Let's say there's, for example, in the San Francisco Bay Area, there is an organization called Mission Asset Fund, and they have lending circles. I went into the program about 5 or 6 years ago, and it's a way for individuals to build their credit score by getting in a group of people and everyone committing to a certain amount, between like $50 to $200 a month that they're putting into the pot. And it can be up to 12 people because it can last a year. And every month, somebody in that group is going to get that pot of money. And every month, everyone's making a payment. This is low risk. And why I'm saying this is a way to think about a creative way and a solution for somebody who is risk averse and is really, like, you know, like hesitant to really getting any debt, because you're not really getting any debt. If you have the cash flow coming in and you're already able to save $50 to $200 a month, you can join a lending circle and you can get a lump of cash. And in the lending circles that I were in, there's people that were doing it multiple times. Some of them were business owners. I was doing it more from the end because I really did want to build my credit score. Other individuals that were there, some of them were business owners, and they wanted to have a lump of cash that they would have access to, and then they could go ahead and turn around and put that in their business. And then they're also building their credit score at the same time. So that, and then if somebody, for example, in that type of program misses a payment, well, the nonprofit steps in and makes sure that the payments are made. So again, if somebody falls out of the group, you're not going to get screwed over because a nonprofit comes in, they have the funding available to make sure that the program continues for the year. So that is one creative way. So wherever you are, look in whatever county you live in and see if there's a lending circle available. If there isn't, see if there's one that you can find through an organization that isn't nationally. I'm sorry, I don't know off the top of my head, but just go ahead and look into a lending circle. And even, what if you have even just a small group of friends that are willing to commit to that? If you can't find a lending circle in your area, if there are individuals that you absolutely trust, why not do it? This is an old, very old way of which people were doing things before anyway, but now it's been expanded into the nonprofit world. Another way to consider to have a boost of cash, it is going to be through a loan, but not through your traditional bank. It could be through what's called a CDFI. And a CDFI is an organization that has a community financial institution that has funds available for business owners, and some of them have funds specifically available for businesses owned by women of color. And why this is so important is because traditionally, a lot of us, the number one group is Black women, get denied getting loans. Even if our credit score is tip top and we have all the capital, we go to a traditional bank, a big bank, and we can get denied. That's, studies show that. And so that can actually activate some financial trauma. And so there's organizations out there that have funds available that they want to be able to provide for you. And I got a CDFI loan back in 2020, and I applied and I got one. The thing is with applying for a CDFI loan, most will say that they want, that you want to be able to show that you have like a business plan, that you've had some sort of revenue that's come in. It doesn't have to be a lot, but that you're going to be able to, you know, have a, do forecasting of how much you'll earn in the next year. And they don't even like want to check your credit and make sure you're credit worthy, because they know, and they have these loans available for women of color because they know how hard it is for women and women of color to get loans for their business. And so the interest rates are fairly low as well through the CDFIs, and they will work with you. And so I highly encourage you to do that. Now, maybe you're thinking, oh my gosh, this is just too much. It stresses me out. I don't even know how to get all the paperwork together, because there is some documents you have to get together. You could work with a coach like me, financial coach, through that. Or there's, again, organizations out there that can help you. One off the top of my mind is, Start Small, Think Big. Woo! And I know it's on the East Coast and the West Coast. It's a nonprofit that's available. They can help you get in touch with professionals at no cost, and they can support you with getting all of your documents ready to apply for a loan with a CDFI. That is exactly what I did. So I went to a nonprofit, helped me get my documents together. I went to another nonprofit, got a CDFI loan. And then I used the funds to put into my business, and it absolutely helped me. Now, the other part of this is, I highly encourage you too, that when you're considering to apply for CDFI loan and you do get one, that you do work with a business coach, and some organizations will have them available so that they can help you stay on top of your cash flow, so that you don't get, find yourself in a situation where maybe it's a low revenue month in the next couple of years, as you have this loan that you, then you have to pay it. You want to be able to make sure that you're able to make those payments. And somebody working with like a business coach through another, again, an SBA or a local organization may have some professionals available that can support you after you get the loan. So again, there's so much out there support. So if you're feeling risk averse and just like, I don't know if I really want to do this, remember, there's going to be organizations that would give you access to the professionals that can support you all along the way.
That was such great information and things that I haven't heard of before. And I love that, right? Like the lending circles I've heard of before, but that was like, wow, maybe in the 90s, you know, when I heard about that. So it's awesome to see that there's nonprofits that do that. I didn't know that. That was a good thing to learn. The CDFI, I had no idea. See, this is what I mean. Like having experts like you is so important, because you can show us a different angle and something that we didn't hear before. And that's what I want all these women to take away from all of this too, is that, listen, you're going to know some things, but you're not going to know everything. And in a coaching space, you have to be open to be somebody who is a sponge and keeps learning and really wants to know your craft. Because something like this, now I can suggest my clients to come to you to say, hey, Leah, can I work with you on this? Because I need to have this done, right? This is why we need people to have the experts in different places and different niches. So thank you for that. That was powerful. And I hope that the women have been taking notes like I have, because that's super important. And I wanted to kind of, start wrapping this up by going from the scarcity to the financial empowerment. And I want you to share a story with all of us entrepreneurs of someone that you've worked with, somebody that comes up for you, that you've transformed or helped them transform their financial situation and start building a thriving business. I want them to see how successful and wonderful they can be in their lives and their journey as well.
Ah, yes. Who comes to mind is actually, she already was an established business owner when I became her coach. She was the owner of 4 daycare centers, and she had a business partner. And she met with me because she wanted to start planning for her retirement. and her husband was already retired and he was on a fixed income. She's in her 50s and she had left, she had left her career working at a school and for a school district, and she did not want to have to go back to that. So even though she was an established business owner, she has employees, she had four, like I said, four locations, she had a business partner. As we began coaching, it was around the second or third session, she mentioned about planning for retirement. And it became clear that she hadn't been putting any funds aside really for her retirement. And she hadn't really, you know, come up with a number for that. And she just would, you know, take a little bit of pay from the business for herself, but there was no plan for how much she should set aside for her retirement. And throughout those conversations, it came up where she, it was that time of year where she would be starting new enrollments into her program. And she brought up maybe she would consider raising her rates. And she said to me during the session that every year, now she's been in business 14 years, every year she has a difficult time raising her rates and she hadn't raised them in years. She didn't say how many years, but it had been years. And I asked her, well, let's talk. Would you be open to talking about that? You know, why? And we walked through the process of when she sits down. I mean, that's literally what I do with my clients. We walk through the whole scenario. So she lets me know, she sits down, she has her paperwork, she starts writing it down, raising her rates, and then she crosses it out. And I asked her why. And so she sat with it. And so she got very emotional and that financial trauma showed up. She was, you know, it was hard for her to breathe. And so we worked through it. And so what came up, she said that when she would start to think about raising her rates, she would go into fear thinking, what if I lose my families? What if they go somewhere else? What if I can't enroll more people? What if it was all the what ifs? And so I asked her, you know, how long has she had families? Had she ever lost a family before? And she realized she'd never lost a family over the years. Families only left when their child got older, but they never left because of the services she provided. They were all happy. And so she left that session feeling like, okay, I'm really going to look into this. And the homework that she decided for herself, because I don't give my clients homework, but she said she wanted to do as her homework was that she was going to take a deep look at the rates and then see what she could do. Now, she was meeting with me once a month. And so we met again, I think it's about 3.5-4 weeks later. And she had the biggest smile on her face. She explained to me that she raised her rates and that now her business was going to be having an influx of an additional $100,000 per year. She was completely blown away. She had not realized that her raising her rates would give that influx of money, and not a single family left. They all said, okay. And she celebrated with me, and it was one of the most beautiful experiences because then she felt so confident, like, wow, I really can retire when I want to retire. I can raise my rates. I provide quality work. People love the services we provide. They're not going to leave me. That was all in her mind and in her body and all her fears. And so through the coaching process with me, she went ahead, did that. And now she is actually, her business partner and her are now even expanding their services. They had kind of gotten into a slump. They'd been doing it for so long and they were feeling like, what else could we possibly do? But they're both invigorated. I was actually coaching her business partner too. And they were going to be rolling out with some new programs and ways of being able to support daycare providers that are starting their businesses because they'd been doing it for so long. And they just found that it was just so valuable that they could then continue expanding their business. So that is my story there. I love that story because she really did have the courage to walk through that process. And then not only did she have the courage to sit with the emotions, she had the willingness and the courage to take action. And she took action and the results were fruitful.
So good. Oh, I love that story. And you know, you just empowered her to just dig deeper and just realize her worth, right? And her knowledge and her wisdom. And that's what I love, right? I love that our jobs as coaches, right? Like that we can actually help these women find their true selves and who they really are and what they want to bring to the world. Leah, that was amazing. This whole session was amazing. Thank you so much for being here and for pouring into these women. I do want to let you tell them, though, you know, what you have for them, how they can find you, all of that great stuff? Because I really, I this was just impactful, and I want them to know how they can move forward with working with you if they so choose. So let them know that.
Yes, you can find me on my website. It is leahcoaching.com, L-E-A-H coaching.com. Sign up for my newsletter. I will not bombard you with too many emails. And if you're interested, there's a link on my website where you can schedule a complimentary consultation. It's about 45 minutes long, and we'll see if I'm a good fit for you. And also find me on LinkedIn. I'm there. I do some LinkedIn lives every week, and you can just find me under my first and last name, Leah Davis, and then my certification, which is FFC. So Frank Freight Cat, Leah Davis, FFC. You can find me on LinkedIn. Connect with me. I would love to see you there. And if you're interested, you can go ahead and send me a quick note on LinkedIn. I will respond. I would love to hear from you.
Thank you so much for being here and for being a part of the Women Who Lead Summit. I appreciate you so much. You know, this has been a game changer. And ladies, you know, financial empowerment isn't just about making money. It's about managing, protecting yourself, growing it wisely, making good decisions, trusting yourself, right? And if you ever felt overwhelmed by your finances or your business or where to start, what to begin, well, then now is the time to take control. Right. And now is the time to actually look at what that means. And Leah's here to help connect with you on this and help you, you know, strategize this and learn about what it is you need to do. So thank you, ladies, so much for hanging out with us. I really appreciate you. This is, of course, the Women Who Lead Summit. And I am Nina Perez. So until next time.